Hello, and welcome to the Life Center Podcast. We're a church in Tacoma, Washington that exists to inspire our community to love and follow Jesus. To find out more about what's going on at all of our campuses, you can download the Life Center app, interact with us on social media, or visit lifecenter.com. Let's jump into this week's message. Thanks for listening.
Well, happy Sunday. Thanks for being with us today at Life Center. For those of you who are maybe new with us, Life Center is one church that meets in multiple locations with multiple languages around Pierce County. And we're glad that you're with us today here at our central campus. You know, a number of weeks ago, we set out in a series on the Sermon on the Mount. It's a collection of Jesus' teachings in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And originally, the plan was to do that for about 5 weeks. And we actually presented a study guide. Some of you engaged with that study guide online. And as we came to the conclusion of that series, we began to pray and we just felt like, okay, there's some more things that the Lord wants to say to us throughout chapter 7. And so we've extended this series 2 more weeks. How many are okay with God sometimes interrupting our plans? And so we're gonna talk today about shifting the area of perseverance or persistence in our lives. Before we jump to Matthew chapter 7, though, I want to take a moment and celebrate with you what happened last weekend right here at Life Center. We had Huldah Buntain with us working, again, just for decades with the people of Calcutta. And I want to say thank you for your generosity because last week, over $70,000 came in to help the work in Calcutta. So that's amazing. That's amazing. So we are so thankful for how Jesus is going to use that to impact people, specifically in the realm of free care for the hospital. Now, we talked a lot about the hospital last week in Calcutta, but the area that that resource is going to go to is to help provide free care for those who can't afford it. So thank you for having that heart. You know, today we're going to spend some time looking at this idea of persistence. Now, when you hear the word persistence, I want you to think for a moment, what comes to your mind? Some of us, we think about that one car salesman who would not let us go. Others of us, maybe we've already begun to receive the Christmas lists from our children or our grandchildren, and they continue to show up in unique places. It's on the fridge one day, then it's on the bathroom mirror another day, then it's on the dash of your car another day. Persistence. Can you say persistence? Persistence. I was thinking about this idea of persistence, and I have to apply that word to myself in the time frame when I met Amber. You see, when I met Amber, I was actually speaking over in Yakima, and we were introduced, and the next day after I was speaking at the church there, we went out on a date with her and myself and another 2 pastors from the church that I was at. And I remember after that lunch date, thinking to myself, man, I want to keep this going. Anybody remember that feeling right there? I want to keep this thing alive. There needs to be some persistence here in Jesus' name. And so as I'm getting ready to drop her off after this lunch, I'm thinking through what is going to be my best strategy to keep this thing alive. Because I know me, and I'm not the type of individual that's going to be like, hey, girl, what's your number? Give me your number. Some of you guys just felt awkward with me pretending to say that. That's not my personality. And so in the moment, I come up with what I feel like is a foolproof plan. You see, Amber living in Yakima at that time, about once a month, she would come over to Bell Square to go shopping because Yakima, it's not the shopping capital of the Northwest, just in case you're wondering. So she would come over quite consistently, and at the time I was still living just north of Kirkland in Juanita, and so I come up with what I feel like is divine revelation, and I look at her and I say, hey, next time you're over in Bellevue, why don't you give me a call, and I'll come meet you at the mall, and I'll take you out to lunch, and we'll hang out. And I'm thinking, how many think that's a good plan right there? And she looks at me, she goes, I don't call boys. And I was like, yeah, I don't either. That's dumb. I don't call boys either. That's calling boys is stupid. And she's literally aware of my inability to keep this thing going. But how many know God is good and God is gracious? And she sees my inability and she looks at me and she says, but what I could do is I could give you my number and you could call me. And I'm like, yeah, let's do that. Let's do that. I like that. Persistence. Can you say persistence? Persistence is so important. And one of the things that Jesus invites us to be persistent in is the area of prayer. And even before we go into the scripture, I want you to capture this thought for a moment. The God of the universe, who spoke everything we've ever seen, ever known, into existence with mere words, welcomes us to be persistent in our prayer with him. Let that sink in for a minute. God, who has no need, he has no limitations, he has no inabilities, that God looks at you, he looks at me, and he says, here's what I want you to do. I want you not just to pray occasionally, I want you to persist in coming to me. I want you to continue. In fact, Jesus teaches us this in Matthew 7. I want us to look together, starting in verse 7. And again, this is on the heels of him talking about now what life looks like as citizens of the kingdom. So this is on the heels of him reminding us that God blesses those who are poor in spirit. Why? Because he is the source of filling them. This is on the heels of Jesus saying, I tell you, you've heard it said, don't murder, but I say, don't be angry. Anybody want to fast forward for that scripture? This is on the heels of Jesus saying, don't worry about your life. Don't worry about your clothes. Don't worry about how those things are going to come together. This is on the heels of it. And Jesus now interjects this thought on prayer. And he says this, starting in verse 7. Keep on asking. Can you say keep on? I want you to notice that. I love how the New Living Translation translates that phrase. Why? Because in the Greek, it's a present tense imperative. In other words, it's this idea of don't just do it once, but in the midst of all that you're doing, keep on engaging. So Jesus says, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. You see, he's inviting us into this place of persistent trust, trusting him, looking to him, fixing our eyes on him. And to help his hearers understand why they should approach God with this manner, he says this: you parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Really quick show of hands, anybody ever been guilty of that one? No. He goes on. Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Only if they really need discipline, right? Of course we won't do that. He goes on. So if you sinful people, in other words, we are flawed as humanity, and yet even as flawed humans, if we know how to care for our own children, he makes this point, if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more? Can you say those three words with me? How much more? How much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask? How much more? See, here's what I've learned over time. How we see somebody shapes how we approach them when we have a request. If you walk into your local coffee shop and, man, the barista's behind the counter and they just look ticked. I mean, they just look like they didn't just wake up on the wrong side of the bed. They woke up on the wrong side of life. Anybody ever seen somebody like that? How many of you know your perspective of them, it's going to shape how you ask for your latte. Maybe you moved into a new apartment and the person who lives across from you, you look over at and man, they are just always smiling. How many of you know your perspective of them shapes how you approach them with your requests. And Jesus here, the whole reason, the whole thing that he wants us to wrap our heads and our hearts around is understanding God's character and God's nature. Because some of us, when we hear that idea, well, keep on asking. Maybe some of us, we think, well, who am I? I mean, who am I to approach God like that? What right do I have to go to this perfect, all-knowing, all-sufficient God and keep pestering him? But again, Jesus invites us to this area of persistence. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. You see, as I look at Jesus' teaching here in the Sermon on the Mount, the very things that he calls us to live out, I want to remind us, we cannot do without his grace. If we've been reading Matthew chapter 5, 6, and this far up to chapter 7 correctly, we should find ourselves in this place going, I can't do it. And in that space of feeling desperate, here's what Jesus says. Hey, keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. I tell you, don't worry about your life. But God, I'm worried. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. I tell you, don't look at your brother or sister and worry about the speck in their eye when you got a lot. How many of you had to take the helpful helmet off last week? Those moments where we're trying to get the log out of our, keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. The placement of this is so critical. Why? Because we realize we cannot do this without his intervention. Therefore, we keep persisting in our prayer. We keep persisting in our pursuit of him. But we have to ask ourselves this question. How do we see prayer? Because do I see prayer as a last resort or as a first response? In your life, in my life, is prayer kind of one of those, well, I guess all we, how many of you have ever heard or said this? I guess all we can do now is pray. Oh, you've heard it. Think about the theology under that statement for a moment. Now that I've exhausted all of my abilities, I guess all that I can do is look to an infinite, all-knowing, good, loving Heavenly Father, and hopefully he can maybe potentially do something about this. See, what we believe about prayer is revealed in how we engage in it. I guess all we can do now, do we see prayer just as a last resort? And here's what I'm reminding us of today. It's not a last resort. As followers of Jesus, it's our first response that we live in. We keep on asking. We keep on seeking. We keep on knocking. Challenging information shows up this next week. What am I going to do? I need to ask. I need to seek. I need to knock. Why? Because I have a God who, when he looks at my need, he's not going to just hand me a stone or hand me a snake. He knows what I need. And he welcomes me to this place of persistence in prayer. Do we see it as a last resort or a first response? One of the things that we do every new year here at Life Center is we take 21 days and we set it aside for 21 days of prayer and fasting. And I want to encourage you, put it on your calendar. Plan on being a part. Why? Because some of us, we need to develop that muscle of persistent prayer. Did you know prayer is a little bit like a muscle? And at times, when I haven't been working that muscle, I pray once, nothing happens, and I say, well, I guess I'm just not in good enough shape. No, you got to keep working that persistence out. And I want to invite you, plan now. Tyler, that's not till January. Why are you talking about it in November? Because I know us. And if we don't plan, we have a way of losing sight of what's important, write it down. Plan on being with us for that 21 days. Every Wednesday night, we're going to have a time of prayer right here where we're going to pray. We're going to seek after the face of God. We're going to grow that persistent prayer muscle in our lives. See, the moment that I say prayer, each of us, we have some level of thought. Some of us, the moment that you heard that I was going to talk about prayer today, instantly your mind went, boring. Prayer is something set aside for a select few people. It's for some monks up on some hillside. It's for people who don't have anything better to do with their time. Others of us, we say to ourselves, well, Tyler, I'm not good at prayer. I won't ask for a show of hands, but how many of us we've ever thought that thought? I'm not good at prayer. Friends, prayer is not a performance for God. It's a pursuit of Him. It's not a perform. God's not standing up in heaven going, man, you know what? That prayer, I'm gonna give you like a 6 out of 10. If you would have thrown in some more these and thous, we would have bumped it up a little bit, because how many know God's favorite language is King James, right? Prayer is about pursuing Him. It's about knowing Him. And so don't write it off as, well, Tyler, that's for somebody else. That's for someone else out there. No. Friends, if you are a follower of Jesus, we need to understand this. Prayer is a necessity. It's our lifeline. How can we abide in Him, remain in Him, like Jesus calls us to do in John 15, unless we are walking in relationship with Him? See, Jesus, He invites us into a paradigm shift in the area of prayer. See, there's some necessary shifts when it comes to prayer. Here's a few shifts that need to take place. First, we need to think relational, not transactional. When it comes to prayer, specifically persistence in prayer, it's about relationship, not about a transaction. We have to be careful here, because sometimes we spend all of our energy because we want something from God. Therefore, I will pray so that I get something from Him. How many know a transactional mindset never has helped any relationship ever? If I do this, then you must do that for me. Can you imagine showing up on a date with your spouse or your significant other, and you're sitting there and you're like, well, I just want to let you know that this is our monthly date night, and check that off the list. Okay, good. And that's how the date night starts. How many of us recognize that date night ain't going anywhere? Why? Because if it's a transaction and not about just the joy of relationship, we've missed the point. We need to think relational, not transactional. Second, we need to think dialogue, not monologue. Prayer is not just me talking at God, giving Him my list, and then saying, see you tomorrow. It is dialogue. In other words, some of the greatest prayer times I've experienced is when I'm not talking. I'm just listening. I'm allowing Him to speak to my heart. I'm allowing Him to renew my strength. See, it's not just trying to get something from Him. It's about being with Him. So we need to think dialogue, not monologue. As well, we need to think about being changed, not only seeing change. This is big when it comes to prayer, because most of the time our prayers revolve around this area of something around me needs to change. So God, I need you to fix my spouse. God, I need you to take care of my health. I need you to do something in those people out there. But here's what you learn over time. Prayer is not only about seeing change around me, it's about being changed on the inside. See, when I get alone with the Lord, when I allow Him to speak to me, because the truth is I could set out asking and seeking and knocking, but if I'm creating space in that pursuit, maybe Jesus is going to help show me that I'm off base in some of my asking. Maybe the things that I've been knocking down that door on, he's going to whisper to me, hey, Tyler, that's the wrong door. Stop knocking on that door. Anybody ever been guilty of you knocked on the door, it didn't work, so you kicked it in only to find out it was the wrong door? Metaphorically, obviously. Metaphorically. We need to think about being changed, not just seeing changed. As well, we need to have a shift in our thinking, and we need to think delight, not just duty. Some of us, when it comes to our prayer life, we have become so regimented and so routine, and it's literally like walking down a list in the morning, just checking boxes. Can I tell you, the joy, the delight of spending time with a God who loves you unconditionally, he sees you, he knows you by name, he's called you his son, he's called you his daughter. And that same God, he not only tolerates time with you, he desires time with you. Because how many of us, we've encountered a persistent friend in our life? Anybody ever encountered a persistent friend? And eventually they wear you out and you're like, okay, stop talking to me. Stop coming to me with all of this stuff. I'm thankful that God never gets to that place with us. In fact, he invites our persistence. Wow. He invites our persistence. See, for some of us, this is a paradigm shift in how we think about prayer and how we think about our pursuit of him. And with that in mind, listen, there's three main ideas that I want to encourage us to engage prayer with today. I want to encourage us, first of all, to learn to pray with persistence. That's been the focus today. Say persistence. Pray with persistence. In other words, remember that the current reality isn't the final reality. Remember that. I want to remind us, it's always too soon to quit. As a follower of Jesus, we have this built-in hope inside of us. And what is that? Now, in light of what Jesus invites us in, we can continue to persist, understanding even though it looks like this right now, this is not the final reality. Well, Tyler, my marriage is on the rocks. I don't know if it's going to work out. Guess what? Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. Keep on serving. Keep on loving. Well, Tyler, it feels like it's too far gone. Persist. Persist. It's always too soon to quit as a follower of Jesus. I love the quote from Roosevelt. He said this, when you reach the end of your rope, tie a knot and hang on. I love that. When you reach the end of your rope, what do you need to do? You need to tie a knot and hang on. Can I remind us, even though prayer is not our last resort, some of us, we need to develop that grit inside of our faith that says, you know what? I'm not going to give. Where's the end of that? Let me tie a knot because I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to continue to ask. I'm going to continue to seek. Jesus, there's not much rope left, but I'm going to continue to knock knowing that you see what I don't see. I'm going to continue to trust you. When you reach the end of your rope, tie a knot and hold on. What is that? That's persistence. We need that type of persistence in our prayer. Friend, I want to remind you, remember right now is not the end of the story. Aren't you thankful for that? Some of us, we thought it was over. We thought it was too far gone. But maybe today, hearing the words of Jesus, it's going to remind you, no, I'm going to continue to ask. I'm going to continue to seek. I'm going to continue to knock, trusting that God will provide what is needed. And by the way, it's important to recognize Jesus doesn't say that we are to come and ask him apologetically. Can you imagine, for those of you who have kids, your kids coming up to you and, hey, Dad, sorry to bug you. I'm hungry. Can I tell you, if any one of my children approached me like that, I'd be like, Well, let's deal with that. What do you want? But at times, listen, I'm concerned that some of us, we approach God like, hey, God, sorry to bug you with this again. God, it's me. Hi. Hey, sorry. I know you got the whole world in your hands, so this sounds like a lot, but God, and Jesus never asks us, hey, make sure when you keep asking, seeking, and knocking to preface that with apologizing. Hey, sorry, it's me again. He doesn't say that. No, Scripture says, come confidently or boldly into his throne room of grace. Why? What's our standing to do that? Remember what Jesus' words are. He is a good, loving, heavenly Father. So we pray with persistence. Say persistence. Pray with persistence. Second, we need to pray with pursuit. Can you say pursuit? Pray with pursuit. In other words, remember that relationship is the goal. Relationship is the goal. The goal is not just to get something from him. The goal is to be transformed. The goal is to know him more. Many of us, we can quote Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, right? For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. We love that verse. But we need to keep reading because the word continues on. And by the way, Jeremiah is writing to a group of people who have been exiled. They're hundreds of miles away from their homeland. And God is prophesying. He's prophetically speaking. Listen, even though you're in this desperate place, understand this. I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. They're plans to prosper you and not to harm you. They're plans to give you a hope and a future. And as you continue on, look at what verse 13 says. It says, if you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. We stop too soon if we're just quoting verse 11. Because there is this promise attached. If we would just look for God, we don't just get God's prosperity. We get him. We get relationship with him. We walk in this place of knowing him. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. See, prayer is, yes, it requires persistence, but we have to pray with pursuit. Remember, prayer is not performing for God. It's pursuing relationship and the resources that he alone has. It's understanding who he is, not just what we want. Think about Paul's words in Philippians chapter 3 when he declares this, I want to know Christ. Wow. I want to know him. I don't just want things from him. I want to know him. Pray with persistence. Pray with this awareness that I am pursuing God. But then also, third, pray with trust. Can you say trust? Trusting what? Remember that God is good. He doesn't just do good things, friends. The very nature, the very character of who God is good. Pray with that awareness. Trust that right now is not the end of the story. Trust that right now is not the only reality. Pray with trust. See, what is the source of our confidence in asking and seeking and knocking? It's recognizing the very nature and character of who God is. Can I help somebody today? Listen, it's not your goodness that gives you access to God. It's his. It's his. Well, Tyler, I don't know if somebody with my background can pray. If you read Scripture, there's a lot of people with less than desirable backgrounds that God welcomed in. Tyler, I'm not really a religious person. Awesome. Me neither. Tyler, I don't know if I have all the right words and phrases down. Well, more good news. It's not about having the right kind of phrasing or some magical spell in your word. That's not what prayer is, ladies and gentlemen. Prayer is about trust. It's about recognizing who God is. It's not about a magical formula or saying the right words together. And here's the reality. Many of us, we've experienced letdown in our lives. And part of our human condition is, hey, fool me once. Hey, that's what happens. But fool me twice. I'm not going to go there. And if we're not careful, because other people have let us down, we wonder, well, if I actually trust God with this, will I be let down? And what's his invitation to us? Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. Why? Because if you don't ask, it's hard to receive. If you don't seek, it's hard to find. If you don't knock, it's hard for that door to be open. So Jesus, he invites us into this place, into this place. You see, when God sees you coming to him in prayer, hear me clearly. When God sees you coming to him in prayer, he does not see an inconvenience. He sees a son. He sees a daughter. He sees one of his beloved creations. He looks at you. He welcomes that. Welcomes us. It's incredible. It's incredible. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. Why? Everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, friends, the door is open. You know, one of the things that we get to do this weekend, I think it's fitting that as we end by talking about the goodness of God, all weekend long, we're baptizing people in water, and we have our baptismal tank right here set up because the tree is being built behind us. We can't use that tank, so we have this one set up. But listen, last night, there was, I believe, four different individuals who made a public declaration through water baptism of saying, I've crossed over from death to life. And why is that important? It's not their goodness, it's his goodness. That's the type of God that we serve. And so today, listen, I'm going to invite us to stand, and I'm going to close today, but I want you to understand, if you have not yet been baptized in water, Garrett is going to be down here, our team is ready to go, and we would love to be able to see you move forward in that step of faith and obedience. See, Jesus, he called us to be baptized, and that's part of our obedience, how we walk this journey out. And what is baptism? Baptism is an outward expression of an inward reality. In other words, we've already put our trust in the fact that Jesus has made us brand new. And so as we declare that, and that becomes a public testimony, a visible testimony, as we go down into the water, it represents having died to our old way of life, but then being raised up to new life through Jesus Christ. And listen, one of the things we love to do here at Life Center, we love to celebrate this. Why? Because that's what it's all about, friends. That's why we do what we do. But before we begin that process today, listen, I want to take a moment and pray. So can I invite you to bow your heads? Because maybe you've never made the decision to put your trust in Jesus. Maybe today you understand your greatest need is to walk out of this place a new creation. Today, if that's your great desire and you say, God, I want to put my trust in you. I want to know that I'm free. I want to know that I'm forgiven. I put my trust in the work that Jesus has done for me. Friend, if that's you, can I invite you right now all across this room to just simply raise a hand, just hold it up for a moment and say, that's me. God, forgive me. Give me a fresh start. Make me a new creation. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Can we pray this prayer out loud together? Would you repeat after me? Say, Jesus, thank you for loving me. I put my trust in you. Forgive me of my sin. Make me a new creation and help me to follow you all the days of my life, in Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Today, can we celebrate those who are making that decision?